In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come here to the Divine Liturgy in order to enter into the Kingdom of God. This is where we come together to be Christ's faithful and enter into His life, and to have His life enter into us. We know as Orthodox, it's one of the first things that we learn when we become Orthodox, that during the Divine Liturgy, we actually enter into the presence of God. We actually enter into His kingdom. On this day, on the day when we remember the Last Judgment, we remember something in particular about what it means to come into the kingdom of God. To come into the kingdom of God, to come into the presence of God, is to re-enter paradise. Coming into the presence of God is paradise. Being and living in the presence of God is what has been restored to us. That is what has been returned to us. We come here so that we can celebrate together a movement out of the world, out of the historical world of space and time outside, into the presence of God, to unite ourselves to one another and unite ourselves to Him with the oneness that Christ came into the world in order to make possible. He came into the world in order to restore us to oneness with the Father through Him. And that's what we come here to celebrate during the Divine Liturgy. From the beginning of the Divine Liturgy, when we announce the Kingdom of God, blessed is the Kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the Kingdom that we are entering into. And we begin to move to the point where we read the letters of St. Paul and others who are permanent residents of the Kingdom of God for all eternity. And we read the Gospel. We can already be, in this life, residents of the eternal Kingdom of God, make our life in the world part of our movement toward that point where we, like they, will never leave the presence of God. That there is a word for, and that word is heaven. It is heaven to be in the presence of God. For those who love Him, and for those who love mankind, the others, all of the individual and particular other human beings, that He came into the world in order to give His life and enable us to live in His presence. That is something that has already occurred. That is an eternal event. When Jesus is talking to the apostles, as we heard Him in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, He talks about how in the future He will sit down at the right hand of the Father. He will be enthroned. But that future has occurred and has affected all of eternity in both directions. Is He not at the right hand of God? Does He not sit on the throne of His dominion over the world that He created? That has already occurred. It is into His presence there that we enter at the Divine Liturgy. And if we are purified in our heart and soul, as we can be during the course of our lives, we already experience the taste of paradise, because we are entering into that reality that is our oneness with God. On the iconostasis, we have two icons of Christ. On this side, we have the icon of Christ in the arms of His mother. It is the icon of the Incarnation. But on the other side of the royal doors, we have the icon of Christ enthroned. this particular icon, he isn't sitting on a throne, but that is always what this icon means on this side of the iconostasis. This is an icon of Christ at the right hand of God. It has already occurred. It's not something that we are waiting for in the future. Sometimes when people think about heaven, about paradise, they think of something that has yet to come to be, and they try to figure it out. They say, well, maybe at the end of my life when I die, I will go to heaven. That's the part we can relate to most easily, because it takes our life in this world as the standard, as the norm. And so it's something off at the end of our lives. And then the second coming of Christ. That we think of as something that has historically yet to occur. It's off at the end. And if our standard is our love of this world and what happens to it and what happens to our worldly life, then we're very, very concerned about when that is going to occur, because we know it's going to affect everything in this world. And the situation that we are most comfortable with is a situation where we are able to live our lives in the world, and we try to be as good as we can. This world is the real world. Things are as we accept them being. When we sin, when we do things that are unworthy of Christ, we want to come away from the standard of our ordinary lives. We're sin, we don't want to be normal in our ordinary lives. And so we want to purify our ordinary lives in this world that we understand and go to confession and confess those things and have them forgiven and then return to our ordinary life in the world. This is, Lewis used to talk about Christianity and water. This is water with a tincture of Christianity. It's 99.99% pure water, 99.99% this world, with just a drop of Christianity. The Orthodox Christian faith has a way of understanding the end time that is completely different from any way that takes this world in its broken condition as the norm and then thinks of the end time as something that comes way off in the future historically. The priest and theologian, Father George Matalios, says this. He says, the second coming of Christ is an event, an eternal event. For the church, it has already occurred. In our hearts and at the divine liturgy, we come into the presence of God. The presence of God is paradise. When you come into the presence of God, that is judgment. That's why we go to confession in order to prepare to come into the presence of God. Our standard is not the broken world. Our standard is our life in Christ. We are baptized into his life. When we fall away, we come to confession in order to return to his life. That is the standard of our life. That is what it means to be a human being, to be at one with God. The norm is not our ordinary life broken by temporary breakings of the law or breakings of a rule that we go to confess and have forgiven and then return to our ordinary life. This is not a Christian understanding of the nature of things. It makes the fallen, broken world primary, and Christianity something that is added on top. The reality is that our life is this new life that we have that comes to us from the end of the world into now. There's a paradox, if we want to say it from the point of view of this time and space. But we are already entering into that end time when we come to the divine liturgy. And so paradise, the kingdom of God, the end time, the time after history, we are participating in it right now to whatever degree we have prepared to enter into the presence of God and to receive him and to offer ourselves up to him. that reality is accomplished. The sitting of Christ at the right hand of God, enthroned, is an eternal event. It occurred within history, but once it occurred within history, it changed everything. It changed time in both directions, both past and in the future. The end time event has already occurred. And you know, probably many of you, you've heard this expression, the Orthodox believe in an inaugurated eschatology, because there's a lot of discussion about the end times, about the book of Revelation, about eschatology, all that eschatology. It means the study of the end times. And if Orthodox want to respond to people who are talking about millennialism and premillennialism, all these different ways that people have of coming up with predictions that take this broken world as the norm, as the standard, and the ultimate event is the end of this broken world as the norm and the standard. Well, that has already occurred. And so we say we have an inaugurated eschatology. It has already been accomplished. In the icon of the Last Judgment, you see a path. Its source is Christ. Up there at the source is Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. All of the saints, all of the apostles, they are all there with Christ. We too enter into the divine liturgy in order to be there, in order to return there if we've been anywhere else. And down from that source winds a path that is golden in the beginning, bright and illuminated and filled with light. And the further away someone gets from the presence of Christ, the more they depart from Him, the darker it gets. Until finally, at the bottom, you see the demons, those who have rejected God, the devil, his angels, and all of those who follow his life of the rejection of God. Now it is possible for us to reject the divine life at one with Christ that we have been given. And how do we do that? We do that by how we deal with others. In the reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew this morning, we heard Christ talking about the sheep and the goats. On the one hand, the sheep, the ones who are gentle. The ones who are gentle, like Christ. Gentle with whom? Gentle with others, as God is gentle with us. He doesn't control us. He doesn't use force to get us to act the way we're supposed to act. He is gentle with us. And on the other hand, there are the goats. The goats, what are they like? They've been referred to as those who love to be on the precipices, who love to walk on the edge, in danger, forgetting about others, all alone, on their own. And over the edge, there is the bottomless emptiness of nothing, because they are on their own. They have wandered off on their own. When it comes to how they deal with others, they judge them, they tempt them, they draw them into temptation in one way or another, in order to show themselves in their own minds and hearts as being superior to others. If that's how we deal with others, then we are not one of Christ's sheep. We always have a spiritual choice between one or the other. And every spiritual choice that we make is a spiritual choice between what we often call heaven and hell. Every spiritual choice that we make is a particular instance of our choosing paradise, or to be off on our own in a world of pretense and self-delusion, where we are the center of things and others are there to be judged, where we feel important and we feel like we are braving the dangers of a life off on our own, a complete life of delusion. And so at every moment in our lives, we are preparing either our entrance finally and without any possibility of repentance in the end into one reality or the other. But the fact is, we are taught by the fathers, there is really only one reality. That reality is God. That reality is God incarnate, Jesus the Christ, who is the incarnate Son of God, but also the incarnate Son of man. He is one of us and also God. He is the only reality. There is no alternative reality. There is either him or fantasy, delusion, darkness. Those are the only two choices. And we are making that choice whenever we encounter another person. Whether we are going to affirm our love of God by affirming our love of that person, or whether we are going to do the opposite. At every point in our lives, we are preparing for that end time, because we are already, if we are Orthodox Christians, participating in that end time now. We come into the Divine Liturgy, we dare to come to the chalice, we dare to take the life of God into ourselves, and then go out in the world and act as though we live in a world where the broken world is the norm, and if we break a rule, we can go and confess and come back into the broken world. That's not the reality of things. It has never been the reality of things. It's never been so that there is on the one hand God, and on the other hand the devil, and we choose between the two. We don't believe in two powers, God and the devil. We don't believe in two worlds, heaven and hell. According to Orthodox teachings, heaven and hell are the same. They are not two different places. Father George Mattaglio says that if we affirm the idea, the doctrine, if it is what we believe in our hearts, that there are two places, heaven and hell, and we are trying to work out which one we are going to, then we are engaging in idolatry. Idolatry. We are coming up with two realities, one of which does not exist in a positive sense. Hell is to be in the presence of Christ and not love others and not love God. To have chosen throughout our lives between God and ourselves, others and ourselves, and to have consistently chosen ourselves. No legalistic system exists where we can go and be forgiven for constantly choosing ourselves rather than God or others, and then return to a broken world to live an ordinary life as though God didn't exist, as though communion with God was separable from our communion and love of others. That's the reality. We cannot somehow cheat and bring a situation into existence where we are safe in that kind of condition. Now, sometimes people say, who aren't Orthodox, you Orthodox, you don't have any security. Well, there is something. There is some way you can be secure. If you are struggling to love others rather than yourself, if you want to love others, if you want to love your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, for themselves, and you can see that there is a barrier, that you have to struggle in order to be able to do that you have to repent of your selfishness, that you have to repent of those times when you fall into anger, and you realize when you're angry, you are choosing yourself rather than to love that person. If that is your condition of spiritual struggle, then you're in good shape. Just keep doing that. That's what it means to be saved. To be saved is to participate in the salvation that God has made it possible for us to work out during the course of our lives. The enemies of God, Satan and his angels, and those who imitate them, they are preparing the fires of hell for themselves as they live, as they choose themselves rather than God, as they choose themselves rather than others, as they choose whenever they encounter someone to make it an opportunity to tempt that person and try to bring out the worst in them, even as they ridicule them and feel like those goats up on the precipices a sense of giddy egoism. The choice is always clear, so long as we maintain our remembrance of Christ, so long as we retain our memory of the fact that our lives are inseparable from the divine life of God. Our life is inseparable from the lives of all of those others. We either love them or we use them to build ourselves up in a delusionary sort of way. And our judgment, both the general resurrection and our judgment from minute to minute as we encounter others, will always be on the basis of whether or not we treated others as Christ in need. Whenever we encounter others, we always encounter someone who is hungry. Do we tempt them by holding something out to them that is really worldly and other than what they really need? Or do we feed them with our compassion and our love? Sometimes we're tempted to reduce everything to the goods of this world and to treat the poor as though all they need is money. All they want is money. And it's a lie. The reality is that in ourselves there is this idea that ultimately that's what there is. That's what matters. That's what people care about. It's a demonic way of thinking. When we encounter others, we need to be there for them as the presence of Christ and realize that the other person is always the presence of Christ before us. And in our reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we had it laid out for us very completely. If you have done it to one of the least of these, you have done it to me. Whether you have fed them or whether you have withheld food, spiritual food, not just the food of this world, but the food of love and compassion, to be gentle with them, as God is gentle with us. And so God will judge us in the end. Let us begin to be aware of how we deal with others, so that we can go and confess when we have not dealt with Christ as we have met him in the world in such a way that we have loved him. Our task in our spiritual life in the world is to learn to love God by learning to love others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.